happy day when Jesus was. When my Jesus was, he was most in the way. A happy day.
Praise the Lord, family. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that we do love you. And family, the Holy Spirit directs the We Are Family prayer line, live and on podcast. Romans 8:29, CSB reads, "For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." Hallelujah. That's a reason to give God the glory and say, thank you, Lord, for surrounding us with such a great group of brothers and sisters gathered. Let me pray. Father God, thank you for calling us together as a family, whether the blood of DNA or the blood of Jesus Christ, or inquisitive minds seeking to know you as Lord. I pray the words heard tonight be made clear to all ears and hearts as encouragement to be intentional in one's living, whether live or on podcast. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Family, intentional living through God's word is more than a phrase. It's a practical application of the Bible to one's daily life. For today, check out this new feature called Bible Beats. B-E-A-T-S is a rap-a-tat-tat about the Word of God. Maybe I'm dating myself. Rapping or talking about God's Word is impacting. It's family sharing heart-to-heart conversation. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 CSB tells us, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up as you are already doing." So be blessed by our sister in Christ, Carol Talbert, a.k.a. Evie, as she shares with us.
You were talking about intentional living, right?
Yes, the prayer line has a series called Intentional Living.
When I think about intentional living, I'm thinking the whole New Testament, but primarily the epistles, is showing us how to intentionally live. That's just pretty much a blueprint for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, once we grasp onto that concept of what intentionality means, you know, to intentionally do something, you have to think about it and then say you're going to do it, you know. Intentionally, I'm going to get up and go to work every day. Or, I mean, you make a plan for it, you have a structure that you follow, and you do it. And the same for the Word of God. It's like, especially in these times, we need to be intentional about living the way God says to live, reacting the way he says to react. Everything needs to be intentionally focused on him.
I'm totally in agreement with you. And I do agree that the New Testament, because we have the book of James, which is written to the first Christians that encouraged them to live and even prepared them for the difficulty and challenges that they would have. And so even looking and being told that, think it not strange that we have trials and tribulations. And the only way that a believer can survive those things is doing just like you said. One, making a plan to read and understand how the Bible, or the Word of God, prepares us to live.
Exactly. Sometimes people get kind of lost in the fact that the Bible was inspired over 2,000 years ago, you know, and it's just like, how do you apply what's said then to now? And, well, through prayer you can. I'm thinking about even back to the book of Acts, where, you know, Jesus said, stay in Jerusalem until he sends his Holy Spirit. You know, you can't do anything without the proper foundation, the proper guidance, and that was the Holy Spirit. And that's sometimes we need to do that. Sometimes we need to stay in our Jerusalem, whether it be Canton, Ohio, or Los Angeles, California. Stay in your Jerusalem until you hear something from the Holy Spirit about how we should proceed on something, or, you know, something may have struck you the wrong way that someone said to you, or, you know, how they say, you're in your feelings, you feel a certain sort of way. Sometimes you just have to stay in Jerusalem until you hear further about how to react, how to respond, you know? And so it's like you can take things from those biblical times when they were written and apply them to today, and that's, to me, that's kind of being intentional, because you have to focus in your head that, you know what, I'm going to take what this scripture said to me, and this is almost like Bible study 101. Read the passage. Who's the author? Who was he talking to? What was he trying to get across to them? And how can I apply it to my life today? And it takes a little time. It's better than opening the Bible and just rolling your fingers across the page, and wherever your finger ends, that's where you're going to read. Or, you know, to get into the Bible every day is a wonderful thing, but it's like when you take it and you have your pen and your paper and your notebook with you, and you're writing down, how does this apply? You know, Holy Spirit, show me what this means, because there's something new in that Bible every day that can be revealed to you.
Amen. Listening to the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 1:8, using the Authorized King James Version, it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And Jesus told us that we would receive a comforter, and that's why he needed to go, because he equipped us with his word as well as with the Holy Spirit. Be intentional about what you're going to read, because the Holy Spirit can even direct that. Mm-hmm. I was speaking with someone, and all of a sudden, it's like the topic of intentional living, because the world, it makes you aware that we need Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us as to what we do, because people are willing to fall for anything. How reading the Word of God helps you to make your root deeper into the understanding of God.
I mean, it doesn't matter if you're 25, saved yesterday, 65, saved for 30 years. If we're not in that word and if we're not applying it, then we're not growing from glory to glory. We're just, it's almost become such a habit. You know, you get up, you go to church, you do the Bible study, you do the, everything becomes such a habit that you're not really feeding on it. You have got to, our feet have got to be planted in this word where we grow roots in it. You know, that's when a storm comes up, we're not going to be easily shaken, because so many people, me included, you know, sometimes something major might happen and your first thing is, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And then your second thought might be, let me get on my knees. You know, when we get to the point or to the place where our first reaction is, Father, we thank you because your word says that all things work together for the good to those who are called according to your purpose. You know, so I don't know what's happening here, but help me to see it from the spiritual level. I long for the day when that's my first response. Sometimes it is, not all the time. I want it to be all the time, you know? It's almost like the closer the family member or the closer the calamity, whatever it may be, hits to home, it's easier it is for me to go, oh, my gosh, okay, wait, now, what are we going to do? And I just want it to be, like I said, I really want that first reaction to be going to the Lord first and saying, what does this mean? What's going on here, Father? You tell me, because he will tell us. He'll let us know. He loves us, that he doesn't withhold any good thing from us. And if everything that he is doing is for our benefit in one way or another, it's like, okay, Lord, what is this? And how am I supposed to react to it?
And that's what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. It's for us to be able to rest within the storm, because we're going to have storms. That's Matthew 8, 23, 27. And the Message translation reads, then he got in the boat, his disciples with him. The next thing they knew, they were in a severe storm. Waves were crashing into the boat, and he was sound asleep.
Think about what's on the newscast today, or on your news feed on your phone, or, you know, all this mess that's going around. We can either buy into it, or we can say, you know what, that's pointing to something deeper. Where is my stance with the Lord? How am I looking at this? Am I looking at this from a worldly perspective, or am I looking at it like, you know what, get yourself in order, make sure we're rooted and grounded, because there's some shaking going on. And if we don't know how to sit back, you know, like Jesus in the boat rocking back and forth, he had already told his disciples, let's get in the boat and go to the other side, and went to sleep. You know, so he was going, he didn't just doze off, he intentionally went to sleep.
Amen. And that's a great point. As a child of God, his word already told us that we have authority to speak to things.
Well, that's true. I mean, that's true. You can, there's not one person listening right now that can say honestly they've never been through a storm. There's been storms.
Like a drizzle. I mean, there are difficulties, yeah, but you're still getting wet. And you're still concerned, right?
And amen. And then you're still getting wet because it's the same rain, but it's just the intensity of it will make it seem like it's so much worse. And you might get the same amount of rain. It still could be 8 inches of rain or 5 inches of rain, but if there's thunder and lightning with it, all of a sudden that's a storm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, there may be something going on in your life, but it's like it seems like, okay, this I can handle. But then when a more intense battle is waged, then it's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? You're going to rest, because it's the same water, it's the same storm, and the word tells us that our battle is not with flesh and blood, you know? So think about the word of God. Am I planted in it? Okay, Lord, give me some guidance. I need to know how to do this.
Amen.
We go to the source. The disciples went to Jesus. We're doing the same thing. It's in between the pages of that book. And if you're, you know, once we really spend the time in the word and that word becomes part of us, it'll come out of you. You don't have to run and look for the Bible and leaf through the pages. If that word is in you, that should be what comes out of you. And that's kind of what we can tell where our stance is, huh, Eleanor? And our first response is the word of God that tells us what's in our heart.
Amen. And I love you, and I thank you very much.
I love you too, Eleanor. We'll talk soon.
God bless. Praise the Lord, family. Hallelujah. Stay in Jerusalem. Is that right? Amen. Because instead of getting into our feelings, as Evie loves to say, pray first. Hallelujah. God is using all of us to witness how growing in Christ begins with the Bible. I asked the Holy Spirit, Lord, how am I going to do this? What do you mean I'm supposed to do a prayer line? And the Holy Spirit said, if you had more word in you, I could pull more word out of you. So it's true. And that's why I too pray that the Holy Spirit directs me to read and study the Bible daily. It feels so good. Hallelujah. And it begins with knowing Christ as your Savior. So perhaps there's someone that says, I need to know more of you, Jesus, because it's through the blood of Jesus that we are forgiven and reconciled to God as his children. If you want Jesus as your Savior, pray in agreement. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner, and I repent from my old ways and thoughts. I confess Jesus as the Christ and the Son of God, crucified and raised, hallelujah, from the dead, so that I may have an abundant and everlasting life. Hallelujah. I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. So now the Holy Spirit dwells within you. Read your Bible and join a Bible-believing church to grow intentionally in the understanding of God's Word. And remember, get your pen and notebook to write down what the Holy Spirit gives you. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father God, we praise you and thank you. Lord, we give you praise and will not be silent about a God that loves us and provides us grace and mercy. That's why we ask for your forgiveness, Lord. When we slip, because we want nothing to separate us from you, we pray to give you thanks forever. Nothing else really matters but our relationship with you and with one another that comes from us loving you and you loving us. Romans 12:12 reminds us to be joyful in hope, but our God is mighty, and be patient in affliction and faithful in prayer. Lord, our prayer list is long, but our God is mighty. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord, hallelujah, delivereth him out of them all. So we lay it at the altar, boldly at the throne of grace. Family, speak it out before the Lord. Your word, Father God, says where two or three are gathered, you are in the midst. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We have faith in greater things. We seek you, Lord, and your strength continually in our lives. We pray and connect to you without ceasing for our loved ones to know you and to trust you. Family, call out their names who need the Lord. We pray for the country and pray for the world, for light to overtake the darkness. So thank you, Lord. We pray these things with thanksgiving in the mighty, magnificent name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, family, and be blessed. I love you.